Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We are continuing with the topic of making knots and untying them on Shabbos. Let us just point out, as we have learned before, that the primary prohibition of making a knot is that type of knot that is known as a kesher shel kayoma, a knot that will be of a permanent nature. Likewise, when we speak about undoing a knot, it's that kind of knot that if it were undone on Shabbos, untied, one would be in violation of the melacha of matir. The Gemara continues explaining one of the examples of the Mishnah, and in fact the next few lines of the Gemara will deal with several different examples that were mentioned in the Mishnah. We open up 4 lines from the top, Mafteach Chalukah. This was a garment worn by a woman that had 2 types of flaps, or we'll say strings, at the left side and the right side at the upper part of the garment, where the right side were tied to the left side of the garment, and the left side, the left flap, was tied to the right-hand side of the garment. And this, the Mishnah said, a woman is allowed to tie and untie on Shabbos. Pshita, the Gemara says, that's obvious. This Pshita question is based on the assumption that this is something that one ties and unties every day. So it's a very temporary type knot, so there should be no problem. Lo tzricha de'isle tre doshi. We're talking about a garment that has 2 openings. The Rashi, second line from the top, tre doshi, shte psachim, haynu oison lishonos. The shne psachim are 2 openings, or those 2 flaps that we mentioned in our introduction. V'havion zu lamala v'zu lamata. One is above and one is lower. Zu liyamin v'zu l'smol. One is to the right and one is to the left. V'im eino materes elo echod. If one were undone, yicholu lefoshta ulelosha bedochak. She could still, with a little bit of effort, dochak means a little pressure or difficulty, so we'll say with a little bit extra effort, even if one were untied, she could still slip on and slip off the garment. The Gemara therefore says, Mahu de Tema, without our Mishnah, I might have thought, Chado minay betubi mevatil, that the woman will tie and untie one. That, let us say, she puts this garment on Shabbos, when both flaps are untied. So she might tie both of them when she puts them on, and when she takes it off, she might untie just one of them, leaving the other knot that she made on Shabbos in place for an unextended period of time. And that would make it, that would turn it into a kesher shel kayoma, a permanent type knot. Komash malon, so the point here is that we don't have to take that into consideration, and we will assume that she will undo both knots. Both knots, of course, that she had made on Shabbos when she put it on. The next, chute svacha. This is a type of head covering, a head netting, where the once she puts this on, she knots it closed. And again, the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't this obvious that this type of knot would be allowed? The question once again being that she puts it on and takes it off every day, so she is not making a permanent type knot. The Gemara answers, Lo tzricha deravicha lo. Rashi says, deravicha lo dochsos, on the 4th line from the top, Delo dochaksoi beroisha. She didn't put it in a tight fit on her head. Elo kushrasu berevach. When she made the knot, she made it with a little bit of flexibility. It was a little loose. She holo l'chulso miroisho kishikshua. It's that type of fitting that she could slip it off even while it's tied. So that's the case the Mishnah is dealing with, and yet the Mishnah says it's allowed. Why do I need to be told that? Mahu detemo, without the Mishnah, I would have thought Mishlev shalfalo. She can slip it right off her head, and leaving the knot in place, making it into a keshesho kayoma. Komash malon de isha chosal saira umishra shariyala. The Mishnah tells us what might be a well-known fact to many women is that they are careful and concerned with their hair setting, the way they prepare their hair, and the taking it off in any way other than untying the knot will upset their hair setting, and she's more concerned about that than the ease of taking it off, so therefore she will undo the knot. And once again, if she undoes the knot, so it shows us that the knot that she made on Shabbos will be as of an unpermanent nature. Uritsuas Mindal Vasanol. The Mishnah made reference to the straps that are attached or tied to the shoe. Minol is a closed shoe, a sandal is an open shoe. Naturally, the shoe has a sole to it, and we're talking about the attaching of straps to these types of shoes and the knots that one makes. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a title heading, a nosei, a topic heading for this section of Gemara, and on the side we've written under the nosei heading, Al HaGemara. It will be the role of the Gemara, the job of the Gemara Liyashiv, Shalosh Makoros, to resolve three sources, Shinero Soisros, that appear to be contradictory, B'inyan, Kishrei Min Al Vasandal, regarding the knots, the tying that one makes in the context of shoes. One source says Mutter, that it's totally allowed as a first choice to tie the knots with regard to shoes. The second source says Potter. Potter means Potter, which more often is read as Potter Aval Oser, meaning one will be exempt on a Torah level, but rabbinically there is a prohibition. And the third source says Chayav. Chayav means a Torah level offense involved in the knot. So we'll have three sources, and we'll have to resolve them. As you scan ahead a bit more in the Gemara, you'll notice a double underlining. Then under our Mivneh, under our structural note, we've noted these represent Chuvos L'Skiros Hanal. These are, at each point the double underline appears, will be the point at which the Gemara is trying to resolve, is presenting a resolution to the contradiction we just mentioned. So now the Gemara, Itmar, Hitir Ritsuos Minol Vesandol. One who undid the knots of the shoes, Toni Chado Chayav Chatos. One says there's a Chatos violation, a sin offering, that means a Torah level violation. The reason the sin offering expression is used is because if one does so unwittingly or mistakenly, so he will be Chayav to bring a sin offering. But when we see Chayav Chatos, we understand it's a reference to a Torah level violation. Fitanyo Idach Potter Aval Aser. As we said before, there's a Torah exemption for one who does it, but rabbinically it's forbidden. V'tanya idach muter lechachilin. A third source says that the untying of shoe knots is an option that is allowed as a first choice. Kashya minol amindol. Minol, we have a contradiction then, a three-way contradiction regarding the closed shoe knots, and kashya sandal asandal, and likewise with regard to the open shoe knots. The Gemara answers, and note that what we're about to see is a long answer, and that's illustrated by the tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. The Gemara says, Minol aminol lo kashya. regarding the closed shoes, there is no problem, and we have to offer a disclaimer at the very beginning of this section of Gemara, and we've mentioned this a number of times during our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir in Maseches Shabbos. There are many sections of Gemara that require illustrations to better understand what we are learning, and this is one of those cases. So we recommend getting a hold of a book of illustrations, or certain Gemara editions provide illustrations with them, and it will make this and these kind of Gemaras much clearer. So we continue. As we said, the double underlines represent the answers. So the chatos achatos is bedushpaki, ushkif. And ushkifi is a shoemaker. There's something called a shoemaker's knot. When he attaches a strap to the shoe, he's attaching it as part of making the shoe. The Rashi says, bedushkifi, bekesher sheushkof, ushkof is the shoemaker, the knot the ushkof makes, sheushkof oise makes it, kishetoichif ritzua b'minol, when he wedges the strap into the shoe, kosher kesher mitocho, he makes an internal type knot, shelotucha lotzeis, so that it cannot become detached, for who kayim lolam, and it is there permanently. And you can see in the Rashi, we've dashed underline it because that's the main point for explaining why there's a chiyuv chatos. And likewise, undoing such a knot would be a violation of matir. Matir meaning the untying of a permanent knot. The next point in the Gemara, poter aval osur, that is bidarabonon. What does that mean, bidarabonon? So Rashi explains, b'derabonan, k'shekoshrin soviv raglayim, when one ties the shoe strap around his foot, ein koshrin b'dochak, a person that's described over here is tying it using this strap which he ties to his foot. He ties it in a somewhat a loose fashion. In other words, it's not in a taut, tight fashion, where he's tying it to his shoe. Shepomim shecholzik shu koshur. Sometimes he'll slip off his shoe while it's still tied. Vinoalok shu koshur, and put it back on his foot while it's still tied. This one can easily imagine where even with our shoes that have laces with which you tie them, you might tie the shoe in a not a very tight fit where you can slip off and slip on the shoe, leaving that knot in place. Umihu, Rashi continues, Kesher shel kayoma lo have. It's not a permanent knot. Why? Shebishas hatit, when it is the rainy season, literally shas hatit is muddy season, it was during the rains. The unpaved roads became very muddy, so matirin oso v'koshin oso bedochak. A person then will tie the shoe to his foot in a tight fitting fashion. Shelo yidbak betit v'yishmat miraglof. Because otherwise it will come to yidbak is to become stuck in the mud and then slip off your foot. So this kind of knot is not, we'll call it, it's not a manufacturer's knot. It's the knot that you're tying the shoe to your foot. So in the rainy season, a person knows he's going to undo it. So it's not made with a permanent mindset. Therefore, it's called poter avalosu, but rabbinically it's forbidden because of the fact that you're not definitely going to undo it in the near future, as we saw in the Rashi. The next, muter lechatchila, that the type of knot that one can make at the outset, b'debevnei mechuza. Literally, it's a reference to the city dwellers, the citizens of the city of Mechuza. Rashi explains, b'debevnei mechuza, shem rachvei levov. These are people that are very concerned. Literally, the word rachvei levov has to do with a very wide heart. But what does that mean for us? It means it's a certain type of mentality. These are people that are umakpidim al vushem and alayim lios mechuvonim. They are concerned that their clothing and their shoes are always maintaining their original form. The koshrin oso bedochak, And therefore they tie their shoes on tight so that they can't just slip them off. V'tzarch lahatiro arvis. And then when they take them off in the evening, they have to untie them. Because as we said, they're very interested in preserving the shape of their various clothing items. The next piece of Gemara continues with the resolution of the three sources vis-a-vis the sandal, the open shoe. Sandal asandal lo kashya. Ha de kotani chayav chatas. The source that said there's a chayav chatas for untying a sandal knot is bidetai. That's the tai knot. What is a tai knot? Tai is a reference to Arabs. And the Rashi says bidetai de katri ushkafi. It's the shoemaker's knot regarding the Arab shoes. Besandolim, Shel Yishmeelim, Socharim, the Arabs were known as merchants. So there's a reference made to the sandals of Arab merchants. Shaushkibim Koshibahim Horitsuos Bekesher Kavua. The knots tied to their sandals were tied into the sandal in a permanent fashion. Very similar to what we saw before when the shoemaker is making it, he's making it in a permanent way. Let's read that again in the Gemara. We said Chayav Chatas is Bidetai de Katri Ushkafi. It's the Arab sandals which are prepared by the shoemakers. Potter Avalosa, the Gemara continues, Bidechomrasa de Katri Inhu. Chomrasa is a word meaning a knot. And de Katri Inhu, Rashi explains, Bidechomrasa de Katri Inhu, Elu Sandalam Shel Shara Noshim. These are other kinds of shoes of non-Arab merchants. She'ein ritzus kvus behen ayadei uman. The straps are not inserted by a professional, by a shoemaker. Elohim atzmom koshin mazom b'chumrusa b'alma. These are the people who buy these. It seems that they buy them in a somewhat non-complete, it's like a do-it-yourself kit, it seems, where you make your own sandals, you get the sole, and you get the straps that are attached to the sole, and you tie them yourselves. You're not a professional. Upamim shemiskayim Shabbos l'chodesh, and sometimes these knots last a week. Shabbos is a week, or a chodesh, or a month. The next Rashi, the next Gemara, that is, Mutar Lechatchila, Besandal Denafki Bei Trey, Kidarav Yehuda. This is a reference to the same shoe that's used by two people. As we'll see very shortly in a story involving Rav Yehuda. But Rashi says, Denafki Bei Trey, Vitzor Kol Echol Echol Likshor Lefi Raglo, Hilkoch Bechol Yom Kosher Umatiro. These are sandal straps, and it seems that this is a reference to the attachment to one's foot, where a person who is sharing a shoe with someone else with a different size foot, he'll, in order to get it off and put it on his foot and his friend's foot, he has to untie it and tie it every day, because you're dealing with adjusting the attachment to a different size foot. So the Gemara gives the story, as we just said, the Rav Yehuda, Achvo, the Rav Sala Chasida, Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Sala, the pious one, Havale, Hahu, Zuga de Sadali, he had a pair of sandals, Zimnin, Denofik, Bei, Ihu, sometimes he used them, Zimnin, Denofik, Nofik, Bei, Yenuke, sometimes his son, his child, used them. Also, Lekame, Dabaye, so Rav Yehuda approached Abaye, Omar Leki Agavna Mai, and Rav Achva asked Abaye, what about this type of knotting when it comes to Shabbos? Omar Lei, Chayev Chatos. Making a knot on Shabbos is a Torah level violation. Omar Lei, Rav Yehuda said back, wow, you're telling me that what I do is a Torah level violation? Omar Lei, Hashto. When I came and asked the question, I was deliberating between totally mutter, or maybe there is an isur derabonan involved. However, chayav chatas kamisli, you're telling me that I'm guilty of a total level violation? So Abaye asks, my taima, what's your problem? What are you bothered by? Rashi says, "My time o kashiloch. What? Why are you having a difficulty with this?" Omalei. So Rav Yehuda explains, and we'll see very shortly. He explains facts that he didn't tell Abaye initially. Omalei mishum debechol nami zimnin nafikna be ano zimnin nafik be yinuka. What I do with regard to my shoes is it's a type of shoe that sometimes I use it and sometimes my son uses it. And that's what I'm asking about. I'm asking about the knotting and the untying of the knots vis-a-vis these shoes that I use and my son uses. Omalei, Abaye said, "E hachi." Oh, if that's the case, mutter lechatchila. Then it's allowed as a first choice to tie and untie, because what you are doing is you're tying, you made the knot initially knowing that your son is possibly going to use it, making it such that he will have to untie that knot to adjust it to his foot. So we look at the Rashi, Ihochi Mutu Lechatchila, Umei Koro Sobar, at the outset, Abaye thought the Lo Rogilim Ever Hochi, that it was not customary for him to do that. The Katra de Ushkafi Havi, and it was a shoemaker's knot, Shirogulios Kavua. It was usually there as a permanent type knot. So that's what Abaye thought was initially being asked. What about making the permanent knot of the sandal? But in reality, that wasn't what was being asked. We continue in the Gemara. We see a little number here, a 1. There are 2 incidents, one involving Rabbi Yirmiyah and a second incident involving Abaye, and the Gemara will point out the difference between these 2 incidents. Rabbi Yirmiyah havel kozu basrei the Rabbi Avol the Carmelis. Rabbi Yirmiyah was following Rabbi Avol while walking through a Carmelis. The Carmelis is a non-public thoroughfare, but it's not in an enclosed area either. It could be a type of small street, which is not a public thoroughfare, an alleyway. And Ifsik le Ritzua de Sandale, and his shoe strap broke on Shabbos. Omale my Navid law. Well, what am I going to do now? If the broken shoe sandal strap, it's going to fall right off my foot. Omale shkol gemi lach de chosi lemaichol behema. So Rabbi Avol told Rabbi Yirmiyah, take a piece of fresh reed material, gemi lach, reed material that animals would eat, that could serve as animal food, ukroch iluya, and wrap it around the sandal, and thereby keeping it attached to your foot. And so this way he would be able to continue wearing it, certainly till he gets home. Another story, Abaye havekoi kamei de Rav Yosef. Abaye was standing in the presence of Rav Yosef in a chotzer, in a rishus hayochid, in an enclosed area. Ifsik le ritzua. And the outer strap broke. And when we speak about the outer strap, we'll have to make reference to a diagram that we will see later. And what we see here on the side of our Gemara, you can see there's a shoe illustrated. It's a crude illustration, but it will suffice for now. And there are holes in our illustration. We didn't insert the straps here, but the straps are attached to these rings called tarsiosov. And there's a one that's, if you're, let us say, wearing your right shoe, so there's a right-hand ring which would be facing the outer side of your body, and the left-hand ring of your right shoe, which would be positioned essentially between the 2 feet. We continue in the Gemara, and we see in the story that the strap that's attached to the right, to the outer side, broke. Omalei, my avidlei, Abaye asks, what am I going to do? Amale shafke, leave it there. In other words, if the shoe falls off your foot, just leave it there where it fell off your foot, and don't carry the shoe and don't move the shoe. Rashi says, shafke b'mokam shenofal, leave it where it fell off. B'mokam shenofal me raglecha, V'lo titlenu b'yodcho latznio. Don't take the shoe from where you are to put it, to hide it, to put it away. The Gemara continues. My shno mida Rebbe Yirmiya. The Gemara asks, what is the difference between this case and the case involving Rebbe Yirmiya, where Rebbe Avo allowed him to fasten the shoe using the reed, the gemi? Answer: Hosam lo mintar. There in the Carmelis, it's an open area. It won't be guarded. If he just leaves it there where it fell off his foot, someone will come and take it. Hocha mintar, here in a chotzer, it's mintar, it's watched, it's guarded. Nothing will happen to it if he just leaves it there. The Gemara asks, and here we start a marking, what we call under our mivneh heading on the side, the structural note, we call this a ma'akav. Ma'akav is an attempt to keep track of a give and take style Gemara. So the give and take style is such that there are questions and answers. With the questions presented in the Gemara, we will have an accompanying triangle with the point facing up, and those are the kushios, and the inverted triangle, when it appears, are tshuvos, are answers, they're responses. So the question here is, you're telling me, the case of Abaye, Rav Yosef tells him, you can't even move it. It fell off your feet. Just leave it there. Just leave it there. Giving us the impression that it's muktzah. Muktzah meaning something that you cannot move around on Shabbos. So he asks, v'ha monahu, is it not a vessel? De'i bo'ino hafichno le miyamin l'smoil. Why is it usur to move it? Is it not such that if I, granted the outside strap broke, could I not flip the shoe from my right foot to my left foot? Thereby, the outside strap would become the inside strap. And in that fashion, I could end up using it. Let us take a look at the Rashi. And here, because we're missing information, the Gemara itself doesn't provide as such, and we look at the Rashi, and he gives a great deal of background for appreciating this. In the third line from the underneath the Gemara text, the Iboino hafichno miyamin l'smol, shahasandal yeshlo shtei tarsios. The sandal has two rings, and this is what we attempted to illustrate in our crude margin illustration. V'hein shel or, these tarsios are made of leather. Mokum kavius ritzuos, this is the place that the straps are set in. Achas mibachutz v'achas mibifnim lebein shnei raglayim. And one of the tarsios is an inner one that is positioned between one's legs. Ke'ein shiesh leminolam shalom, similar to our shoes. Ukshenivsak apnimi, when the inner one breaks. Roy hu lesakno, it's something that people will fix. V'afagav shetikuno nikar, even though its repair is something that is visible, you can see it if you look closely. Uginaihu, and it doesn't look like a new shoe anymore. It doesn't look like something from the factory. Mihu letzad pnim lo mischazi, when it's on the inside, it's not so visible. So it's a kind of break that people will repair. And we're not talking about repairing on Shabbos, but they'll repair it. And even though it's something people can see, oh, this is a shoe that underwent repair, it's not obvious to the public when you're wearing it. Mihu letzad pnim lo mischazi. As we said, it's on the inside, it's not so visible. Ukshenif seko chitzona, when the outer ring breaks, Enu hogun shuv letakno. It's not fitting, it's not proper to fix it anymore. V'hachta Abaye, the story involving Abaye, chitzona ifsik, the outer one is the one that broke. Mishum hochi asrei Rav Yosef afilu letatalo, since it's the outer one that broke, so as far as Rav Yosef is concerned, you can't move this shoe around anymore because people won't repair it. They'll throw it out. V'yomar Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, "V'ho akati monohu, is it not still a vessel? Dehafifno leila regel or acheres makana. I wouldn't throw it out. I can just flip this shoe from the one foot where it's right now, the outside ring, and put it on the other shoe, other foot. V'nimseis hachitzona b'nimis. And with that, that which was the outer ring will now become the inner ring. So because people will still assign value to it, it's not something someone would throw out, and therefore, does it not still have a vessel status? The Gemara continues, and you'll have to note that we have a very long answer here. The tuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara indicates the length of the section of Gemara dedicated to this answer, and it takes you to the second line from the top of Omud Beis. However, note as well that that most of this answer is in brackets. This you can see, you'll notice the brackets on the next line with a bracket length indicator. This is a vertical dash dotted line that you see to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, taking you to Omud Beis. The reason for the bracketed section is indicated by the little note accompanied by the star on the side of the Gemara. So, Grayim L'Shem Dilug, Kidei Lishma Retzef Masu Matan Gemara. We're going to initially skip this section of Gemara just to maintain the Masu Matan, the give and take style of the Gemara, should be crystal clear before we delve into the contents of the brackets. So, Rav Yosef says, Omar Lay, Rav Yosef responds to Abaye's question, but is it still not a vessel? Doesn't it still have potential use? As we said, that a person can flip it from one foot to the other foot, and he therefore will repair it, and it still would be useful. So Omar Lay, Rav Yosef responds, you'll notice the inverted triangle, this is a response, Midekometarets Rabbi Yochanan Alibo de Rabbi Yehuda, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan later on explains a Tanaic source in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, Shma Mino Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan, who is an Amora, troubles himself to explain a Tanaic source to conform in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, it must be that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. And by saying that, Shma Mino, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that we will conclude, therefore, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, and we will see this in the source coming up, that when the outer ring breaks, it is no longer a vessel, and as you might very well know, when you're dealing with Hilchos Shabbos, when something is declassified as from its vessel status, it is no longer mutter to move it. Vessel meaning in Hebrew we call it a kli. It's no longer viewed as a kli. That having been said, we understand why Rav Yosef ushered the movement. He prohibited the movement of the shoe and said to Abai, leave it where it is, there in the chotzer, as is, and you can't move it anymore. The Gemara, after the brackets, and look ahead, scroll ahead till you get to the top of Amud Beis. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, where if the outer one snaps, it is no longer a vessel, and it is tohor, tohor meaning it's not capable of absorbing ritual impurity, which is a phenomenon characteristic of something that is a non-kli. So that question will last a number of lines. The Gemara, you will notice later, will give a response. The inverted triangle appears, and the next line immediately, again, a question is raised, and the give and take continues another couple of lines. You can see at the top of Omid Beis. Now that you see the style, the structural style of the Gemara, we can now delve into the bracketed section. We just mentioned, right before the brackets, Rav Yosef mentioned, that from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan explains a Tanaic source in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, we will see that the halacha must follow Rabbi Yehuda, who mentions that if the outer one breaks, which is what the, which was the case with Abaye's shoe, it no longer has a vessel status, and therefore it will be usur to move it. Mahi. Here the Gemara asks, what are you referring to? The Gemara answers, Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. Sandal shenifsiku shtei oznov o shtei tarsiyosov o shenital kol hakaf sheloi tohor. This source mentions three different shoe aspects. And on the side of our Gemara, we've noted under our Nose heading, sandal shenifsak chalokov, a sandal whose parts broke, le'inyan Shabbos, Tumo, and Chalitza. Three areas of halacha will be dealt with in the Gemara. We'll deal with the shoe who something about it broke with regard to Shabbos, which has to do with the Easter Muktzah, moving it around. Tumah is the ability of this broken shoe item to absorb Tumah. And we mentioned already that Tumah absorption is associated with something having a vessel, a kli status. And three, Chalitza. Chalitza is the ceremony in which a shoe is removed by a widow from her surviving brother-in-law, from his foot, in order to enable this woman who did not have children with her deceased husband to be allowed to marry someone else other than her husband's surviving brother. That's the parsha known as Yibum, and the shoe removal ceremony is called Chalitza. So in that context, we're focusing on the shoe. And in this case, a broken shoe. The Gemara. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source. Sandal, as we read already, we began this source. The sandal, we'll read it again from the beginning. Sandal shenifsiku shtei oznov, o shtei tarsiyosov. The oznov, we haven't illustrated it in our illustration, but it's two ears. But Rashi points out what this is. Rashi says, sheklapi gav horegel, the oznov are toward the back of the foot. She'ochso bohen kshenualo, he holds these types of flaps that extend at the heel of the shoe in order to remove the the heel, meaning the ankle area, more likely, where he holds them in order to remove the shoe. The shtei tarsiyosov we mentioned already. We have that. We attempted to illustrate that. And the kaf is the, Rashi uses the word sole, which is what we say as well. That's the underside of the shoe. So a shoe where any of these, where both oznov or both tarsiosov or the entire sole is removed, is tohor, is no longer mekabel tuma, won't absorb tuma anymore, thereby showing us that it would not have a vessel status. However, achas mi oznov o achas mi tarsiosov, if one of the oznov is removed, or one of the tarsiosov are removed, or rov o shenital rov hakaf shelo, if the majority of the sole is removed, then tome, it will mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nifsika pnimis tome hachitzona tohar. Rabbi Yehuda said, if the inner one is broken, it still is mekabel tuma. If the outer one is broken, so it will no longer have a vessel status, and therefore it won't absorb tuma. We touched on this earlier, the difference between the pnimis and the chitzona, the inner ring and the outer ring that we have in our illustration. The Omar Ula Vitemo Rabo Bar Barchana Omra Yochanan. And now, Rabbi Yochanan says something that will appear a bit cryptic, and it's really how we end up resolving Rabbi Yochanan's statement is the way Rabbi Yosef came to his conclusion before. that Rabbi Yochanan's statement ultimately is in line with Rabbi Yehuda. But we'll have to decipher this as we go on in the Gemara. We have another marking. This is a bow tie marking, and under our Mivne heading on the side, we've indicated Shnei Deos for Rabbi Yochanan. This represents two opinions within Rabbi Yochanan. E posak Rabbi Yehuda, does he really rule like Rabbi Yehuda? Shim nifsak achitzona tor. Ruling like Rabbi Yehuda means that if the outer ring breaks, so the shoe is no longer makabel tuma. So the first bow tie presented in the Gemara, you will see that Rabbi Yochanan is presented as, in fact, ruling like Rabbi Yehuda, and this is what makes for the basis of Rabbi Yosef's response before to Abaye. So Rabbo Bar Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan and says, this is a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, as we said, it's a bit cryptic. It says, "Kimachloikis l'inyan tuma, kach machloikis l'inyan Shabbos, avaloi l'inyan chalitza." As their machlokis is applicable to tuma, so too it's applicable to Shabbos. However, there is no machlokis with regard to chalitza. V'havinon bo. And we ask, Rabbi Yochanan Aliba Deman. Let's quickly look at the Rashi. You'll notice the Rashi in the, with a little star to make it easier to find this Rashi. You can see more than, slightly more than halfway down the wide lines under the Gemara, the beginning of the line, Aliba Deman. According to Aliba Deman Mehani Tanoi Om Rabbi Yochanan. According to which one of these Tanoim does Rabbi Yochanan make his comment, Demai de Sviro Lei Linyan Tuma Sviro Lei Linyan Tiltul Shabbos, which Tana will hold that whatever I hold with regard to Tuma, I also hold with regard to Shabbos, Aval Inyan Chalitza Moide de Bar Plute, but with regard to Chalitza, this Tana will concede to the other one, the other opinion. So we have to work this out, and we do so by going on in the Gemara. You'll notice we have a double underline, and on the side of the Gemara, the double underline highlights Shlovim, the stages, Bahavonas Divrei Rabba Barba Chana, in which we're trying to understand Rabba Barba Chana's quote Rabbi Yochanan, Kemachluk Islinian, etc., this line that we just read. We'll try to decipher. So when you look at the Gemara, you can see the Elema word is double underlined, and then later Viela, and then later Li'olam. Three stages till we can get to the understanding of Rabbo Baruch Hanna's statement or quote of Rabbi Yochanan. So we're dealing with three topics at once, namely Shabbos, Tuma, and Chalitza. And we want to know Rabbi Yochanan's comment that was quoted by Rabbo, according to which Tana did he say what he did? Namely, that with regard to Tuma and Shabbos, he will maintain his ground against his opponent, but with regard to Chalitza, this particular Tana will concede to his opponent. The Gemara. E lemo alibo de Rabbonon. If you'll say that Rabbi Yochanan made his comment in accordance with the Rabbonon's opinion, Midilinyan Tuma Monahave, and holding like the Rabbonon, we are saying that whichever ring of the shoe broke, if one broke, it still is Mekabel Tuma. When we say whichever one, we're saying even if the outer ring broke, it still will have a shoe status. It will still have a vessel status, and therefore absorb Tumah. So, if this is according to Rabbanan, we're saying, since by Tumah it's a mona, mona is a vessel, and it absorbs Tumah, the Inyan Shabbos Nami Mona Havi, regarding Shabbos, it therefore will also have a vessel status, meaning you could move it around with the one broken outer ring, Avol Lo L'Chalitza, but with regard to shoe removal in the Chalitza ceremony, Delav Mona Hu, it would not have a vessel status. In other words, he would concede to his opponent, to Rabbi Yehuda, that it would not have a vessel status, meaning you would not be allowed to use it for Chalitza. V'hotnan, but have we not learned the following? Chalitza shel smol b'yamin, Chalitza sekshera. If you use the left shoe and it's removed from the brother's right foot. In other words, you switched from one side to the other. It's an acceptable chalitza. So that if the, as we explained before, if the outer ring is that which was broken, people will repair it, and by they'll repair it basically by and then switching it to the other foot. So the idea of switching, of repairing an outer ring and then switching it to the other foot is something that is is good for chalitza, so that even though it originally was a factory designed left side shoe, it can be removed from the right foot. So if the outer ring broke and people will repair it, it can be removed from the other foot. So why would the Rabbanan concede with regard to chalitza that it is not good, when this source indicates that it would be good? The Elo Alibo Rabbi Yehuda. So rather, Rabbi Baruch Hanan's quote of Rabbi Yochanan was in accordance with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. And how would that read? Midilinyan tumo lav monahu, from the fact that when the outer ring breaks, it's regarding tuma, not a vessel. It's not won't absorb tuma anymore because it loses its kli status. Linyan Shabbos nami lav monahu, regarding Shabbos also, if the outer ring breaks, you won't repair it anymore, and therefore it doesn't have a vessel status. It's something you would simply throw out. Avol loy lechalitza de monahu, but with regard to chalitza, it is a good shoe. It does have a vessel status. The Gemara asks, would Rabbi Yehuda really be saying that? Amar di amrinon cholsa shosmo biyamin chalitza sekshera. We say this idea, left shoe removed from right foot, that it's acceptable. Hecho de la milse monahu. That's when it is a good shoe for the original foot. You just happen to switch them. In other words, if you're dealing with a left shoe being moved from the right foot, we're saying that it still would have been useful as a left shoe. Hocha. However, in this case where the outer ring broke from the left shoe, lemilse lav monahu, for its own original purpose, it's not a vessel. De ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda, nifsaka hachitzona tahor. When the outer ring breaks, it's no longer a vessel. So we see that as such, it's no longer a vessel when the outer ring breaks. Alma, lav, monahu. Therefore, it would not be good even for chalitza. So, it's hard to explain Rabbi Yochanan's comment according to Rabbi Yehuda as well. The Gemara says, Li'olam aliba d'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan's comment is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, Ema, and as far as the chalitza problem we just described, restate the words of Rabbi Yochanan as follows, V'chein l'chalitza. We squiggle on the line, V'chein, that's the key point in this new presentation. Namely, V'chein, and likewise for chalitza, namely, just like it's not a vessel regarding tuma and regarding Shabbos, regarding chalitza also, it loses its vessel, its shoe status, and therefore cannot be used. And as we explained, because for the original foot, it won't be useful, therefore it's not going to be useful as a switch to the other foot shoe either. V'ha komash malon, and what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us is that very point. D'chi amrinon, when the source says cholsa shel smol b'shel yamin chalitza sekshera, that where you remove a left shoe from the right foot, hecha de la milse, continuing at the top of Amud Beis, de la milse monahu, that is fine only when for the original foot it serves as a shoe. It still has its vessel status. Aval hacha, but in the case where the outer ring broke, lemilse lav monahu, for the original foot, it's not functional anymore. What do we see? in this entire bracketed section, we see that Rabbi Yochanan made a statement that dealt with the topics of Shabbos, Tumah, and Chalitza, and his statement was made based on Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan was a major Amoraic figure, and his words figure very prominently in halachic matters. He made a statement in accordance with the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that when the outer ring breaks, it's no longer a kli, it's no longer a mona, and as a result of that, Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, when his shoe's outer ring broke, don't move it anymore. It doesn't have a vessel status, and therefore on Shabbos it would be muktzeh. The Gemara asks, this question lasts a couple of lines. As you can see, we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Umi Yomer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, would Rabbi Yochanan really have said thusly, that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, where the outer ring breaks, it's no longer a vessel? The Ha Oma Rabbi Yochanan halacha kesta mishnah. But we have Rabbi Yochanan on record as saying that the halacha follows the unnamed mishnah utnan. The unnamed mishnah says, sandal shenifsiko achas miozno v'tikna tomei medris. A sandal, one of whose flaps broke, and he repairs it, retains its medrash status. That means, if a zav is a male, a person, who had a certain type of emission that makes him into a zav, and being of a zav status, anything that he places his weight on, beds, chairs, and his shoes as well, becomes tomei medris. The term medris is a certain type of tuma level, which makes it such that it is an av hatuma, a primary level tuma, which can be metama people as well. So notice the Rashi on the second narrow line, tomei medris, im hoya shel zav, oya tomei medris. If this sandal, which right now one of its flaps broke, and he repaired it, it still has medris status. That's lo toher mitumaso kishinifsika. At the point that the strap, that the flap broke, it doesn't lose its medris tuma status. Vodenu avatuma. When we have a vessel that underwent some kind of change, but its original tuma is maintained, it shows that the vessel status hasn't been tampered with, because we know in general that a vessel that undergoes change, in simpler terms, it gets broken and is no longer functional, even if it had been tumah beforehand, it loses its tumah. So we have a source right now that says that a sandal, one of whose flaps broke, retains its original tumah. And Rabbi Yochanan rules thusly, because here we have an unnamed Tanaic source, that's called a Stam Mishnah, which carries a great deal of halachic weight to it. And Rabbi Yochanan says, let's rule like this. The Gemara continues after the parentheses. My lav, lo yishna penimis v'lo yishna chitzona. We dashed underline chitzona. This point that the shoe retains its original status, it makes no difference whether it's the inner ring or the outer ring or outer flap that broke. So we see from here that that Rabbi Yochanan's a personal opinion is that even if nifsaka chitzona, it still is a vessel. Otherwise, it would have lost its medrash status. So this is certainly not like we presented Rabbi Yochanan before, making a difference, a distinction between pnimis and chitzona. The Gemara says, lo, the source we just read, and that speaks about the breaking of one of the rings, pnimis dafka, it's only if the inner ring broke that it still has its original status. In this case, it's original medrash status. The Gemara sets you up now for a question. Avo chitzona mai. According to this, then, what would be if the outer ring broke? Tahor, are you going to say it would lose its tumah? Ihochi aditoni. And therefore, instead of teaching in the Tanaic source the following, nifsika shnia v'tikna tohor mina medris, avol tomei maga medris. that if the second ring breaks and is repaired, then it loses its measure status. But it still has a lower level of tumma called maga medrash. But let's not get into the issue of maga medrash for right now. Simply saying that here, where the second ring breaks, and we dotted underlined the word shnia in order to see the shoe lose its medrash status. The Tanaic source says the second ring would have had to break. Well, if our answer before of Pnimis Dafka is correct, namely where the Chitzona would break, it would lose its Tuma status right at the outset, without waiting for the second ring to break. Niflog Bedidah, or Niflog Vinisni Bedidah. Why not make a distinction within the first ring breaking? Namely, and read it like this, or let the source have stated itself thusly: Bamer devar mamurim. When is it that the original medrash status is maintained? Shenifsika pnimis, where the inner ring broke. Avol chitzona tohor, where the outer ring breaks, it would be tohor. And yet, the original source didn't make that distinction. In order to achieve tahara, or to see a loss of vessel status, the source had to speak about the second ring breaking. Now, the fact that the fact that it had to come on to talk about the second ring breaking, it would seem to show that even if the outer ring initially broke, it would still be Tomei, showing that Rabbi Yochanan does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara responds that Rabbi Yochanan really does follow Rabbi Yehuda, and Omar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef Tehei Mishnosenu. Let us set up the Tanaic source that spoke about the sandal and it still having Tumas Medrash. Is talking about a different kind of shoe. Besandol sheyesh lo arba aznayim ve'arba tarsiosayim. A shoe that has four aznayim and four tarsiosayim, four rings, which would mean two on the outer side of the shoe and two on the inner side of the shoe. And when the source says the second ring breaks, it's the second one of the outside rings. This shoe had two outside rings. When the second one of the outside of the chitzona rings breaks, so then it will lose its medrash status, because you have a shoe that no longer has functioning outside rings. Now, why are we setting up the source like that? Shelolishbor dvorov shel Rabbi Yochanan, so as to not break that which Rabbi Yochanan said, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, when the outer one breaks, the shoe would be tohor. In other words, by using this explanation, we'll call it the four-ring explanation, we have Rabbi Yochanan's original statement, where Rabbi Bar Chana presented Rabbi Yochanan, and we have that original statement maintained, whereby he was in effect ruling like Rabbi Yochanan. If we look at Rashi presents it in a very terse fashion. Shalalishbor dvarav shel Rabbi Yochanan di omar halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and we're simply pointing out, where did Rabbi Yochanan say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? That is at the point in the Gemara where Rabbi Bar Chana and the Botai appeared, and Rabbi Yochanan presented his analysis in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, at this point in the Gemara, which is the end of this section, we can say, or it's a partial end, we have defended Rabbi Yosef's ruling to Abaye, that when the outer ring breaks, the shoe is no longer movable on Shabbos as far as muktzah is concerned. The Gemara continues, ki osa roven. Now, as we promised before, the bowtie here represents a second presentation of Rabbi Yochanan. So when Ravin came, Omar Rav Chanan bar Abba, Omar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. That's Ravin quoting Rav. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, now we dashed on the line of Rabbi Yochanan to draw your attention to his opinion. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, ain halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha will not follow Rabbi Yehuda, which means for us that even if nifsika the chitzona, the shoe will still be tome and will still have a vessel status. The Gemara asks, "Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hochi? Would Rabbi Yochanan have said the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda? From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan made his statement, as we saw before, in the words of Rabbo Barba Chana, so it indicates to us that Rabbi Yochanan accepts Rabbi Yehuda. Let's read that again. Mida Matarets Rabbi Yochanan Libud Rabbi Yehuda Shma Minok Rabbi Yehuda Svirulei. Must be that Rabbi Yochanan does hold like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara responds, Amoroi ninhu valiva de Rabbi Yochanan. This assumption that Rabbi Yochanan explains, makes a statement according to Rabbi Yehuda, that itself was presented by Rabbo Barba Chana. But Ravin, who we have in our second bow tie, is capable of arguing with Rabbo Barba Chana. Amoroi means a machlokas amoroim as to what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Rabbo Barba Chana may hold that Rabbi Yochanan explains or says what he does according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ravin disagrees. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have our Nosei topic heading on the side. And we've written the following. Nikev kemotzi zayas v'sosmo. If you have a vessel, a vessel, we're talking about vessel that is designed for holding items. We're not talking specifically about shoes right now. And if the vessel developed a hole in it the size of an olive, and he then sealed the hole, v'chozar v'nikev kemotzi zayas, and then it developed another hole the size of an olive, and he sealed it. The Gemara will use the expression ponim chadoshos. We're going to then be looking at a vessel that had a number of holes that developed in the course of time, each hole not being of sufficient size to change the status of the vessel. So if you have a vessel, in this case we'll talk about kli bale batim. These are vessels that are, in this case, wooden vessels that are owned by homeowners, by common people. And the vessel becomes tome, and a hole develops in the vessel, as long as the hole is smaller than the size of a rimon. Rimon is often translated as a pomegranate. So it's smaller than a pomegranate size hole. The vessel remains tome. It is still a vessel of significance, of usefulness. Only when it develops a hole the size of a rimon will it be rendered useless as a vessel and will no longer have the tumah status that it may have had beforehand. The Gemara continues. Tanan hosam, kol klei bale batim shiun krimonim. Standard vessels, their hole size, in order to change their vessel status, is if it develops a hole the size of a rimon. Boy, Chizkia. Chizkia asks a question. Nikev kemotzi zayas v'sosmo. A vessel developed a hole the size of an olive. And he sealed the hole. He put some new clay or plaster in the hole, sealing it. V'chazar v'nikev kemotzi zayas. And then it developed a second hole, next to the first hole, Kimotzi Zayas, and he Visosmo, and he sealed it. And Shishlimu Lemotzi Rimon, until all of the holes, if you were to add them up, they would have been the size of a Motzi Rimon. What is the din? Omar Lei Rabbi Yochanan. Now here we have an answer that begins. You'll notice a long answer marking that is illustrated by the encircled tuft on the right hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. And the question had been posed by Chizkia. Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar Lei Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, Shonis Lanu. He says to Chizkia, Rebbe, you taught us, and he quotes a Mishnah from Kalim, Perek Chofov Mishnah Dalin. Sandal Shenifsiko Achas Mi Oznov, the Tikna. A sandal that one of its flaps broke, and he repaired it. Tomei Medris. It has Medris status, meaning if it originally was Tomei Medris, it will maintain the Tuma. Nifsika Shnia. The second flap broke. Vitikna. He then repaired it. Tohor Mina Medris. It's no longer going to be Tomei Medris. Aval Tomei Maga Medris. Maga Medris is a situation where something that was Medris touched something else. That second item is maga medris. In this case, the shoe in question didn't touch something else, it touched itself. In other words, we have a shoe that had been tomei medris, with the second flap breaking, so the medris status leaves, but it itself is no worse than something that had originally touched a medris. Hence, it's called maga medris. This is one level of tuma lower. The amrinon loch, and we asked you, Maishno Rishona, Dokaimoshnia, what difference was there when the first flap broke? You said it still had its Medris status. And that was because it still had the second flap. Shnia Nami, in this case, when the second flap breaks, Homisakna Rishona, the first one had been repaired. So that when the second flap broke, it still was a shoe that had had another flap in place. The Amris Lon Allah, and you've told us regarding this, Ponim Chadoshos Ba'ulakan. When the second strap broke, true, the first strap was there, but it was in effect a repaired strap. So it wasn't a strap that was there at when it was manufactured. It's the first strap when it was repaired is like a new entity. With the second strap breaking, you now have a situation of a new entity coming into the world. It's a shoe that doesn't have any of its original straps in place, its original flaps in place. That's called ponim chadoshos. And as a result of that, of its totally new status or new appearance, the original Tumas Medris doesn't continue. Hochanami, so too with regard to the question you raised, the vessel with the accumulation of Zayas holes, Zayas-sized holes in it, the olive-sized holes, but in the meantime, in the interim, the holes were repaired, and now we have an accumulation of repaired holes. The accumulated holes weren't there when the vessel was made. True, at this point only one small type hole is present because the other ones had been repaired, but in the sum total, it's Hochanami Ponim Chadoshos Bo'olakan. This vessel is now like a new entity. And therefore, as far as your original question is concerned, it's a vessel that would no longer have its original Tuma status, because we can consider this a vessel with a pomegranate or a Rimon-sized hole. Upon hearing this, Chizkiah responds to Rabbi Yochanan complimentary terms. He says, "Kori ole," Chizkiah referred to Rabbi Yochanan, "less Dane bar inish." This is not a man. This is an angel. Ikal di Amri, another version of Chizkiah's response is, "Kagon Dane," someone like this, bar inish, is a full man, is a real man. Omar Rabbi Zera Omar Rabba Omar Rova Bar Zimuna. Rabbi Zera quotes Rava in the following observation: Im Rishenim Bnei Malochim Onu Bnei Anoshim. If the early generations were angels, so then we are men. Im Rishonim Bnei Anoshim. If, however, the early generations were men, then anu kechamorim, then we are like donkeys. V'lo kechamoro shel Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa v'shel Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir, but not like these special donkeys, the donkeys of Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa and Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir that the Gemara elsewhere describes as being pious animals, animals that wouldn't eat untithed produce, animals that wouldn't move unless items that didn't belong to the owners were removed from them. Not so we wouldn't be like those special animals, Elo Kishar Chamorim, but rather like a common donkey. There's a three-letter word that might be more appropriate to communicate this idea. And it's been explained that these two statements that we have in the diamonds really is to be understood as follows. And that means that if one is capable of recognizing the preceding generations as angelic, then you have a right to consider yourself a man. However, if you look at the preceding generations, the rabbis of old, and saying, they were men just like we are, just like they have their opinion, so we're entitled to our opinion. We can say whatever we want, just like they said whatever they wanted. And if you're looking at them like that, and you're looking at them as, well, they were men, they were also men, a statement you often hear in the public, well, then we have news for you. If that's how you view them, then we are donkeys, and mere donkeys as such. This is a very prominent area in approaching Jewish tradition and Jewish Torah learning, and that is the recognition that the early generations were, we can say in a manner of speaking, closer to the truth, or based on the Gemara and Tainus and elsewhere, the early generations, we saw how they were willing to risk themselves and extend themselves for Torah and Halacha in ways that we can hardly imagine. And as a result of that, they were able to gain a much higher level of Torah understanding and piety, something that's a bit of a far reach for many of us. But if one has that recognition, so he's still eligible to classify himself as a man. We continue in the Gemara, but before doing so, we look at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Ksharim Shemuzkarim B'Mishnah Shemutar L'Kosharim U'Lahatiram. The Gemara will continue making reference to different knots and their untying, those that were mentioned in the Mishnah as being allowed, Mutar. We will touch on the Nodos Yayin V'Shemen. These were leather skin bottles holding liquids, wine and oil. We'll talk about a cloth covering of a kedera of a pot, and Kshira Lifnei Behema, and the tying of a rope to keep an animal inside an area. HaGemara Tishal Al Kol Echad Pshita, the Gemara will ask regarding each one of these examples that the Mishnah had taught, as is it not obvious? And this opening question is similar to the questions we opened the earlier Gemara with at the beginning of our Shir. So we now continue in the Gemara itself. The Nodos, Yayin, V'Shemen. These are the knots that one makes on these Nodos, or skin bottles. One is allowed to tie them shut and open them on Shabbos Pshita. That's obvious. They're not permanent. They're knots that are made for the purpose of tying and untying. Lo tzricha. The case of the Mishnah that's necessary is the is le tarti uni. The vessel in question has two entrance ways. Rashi says tarti uni osnayim shekoiflin l'soichu ba'achas mehen yochol lehotzi ayayin. There are two types of, literally, their ears or handles, but apparently by untying these, it creates a spout. And the vessel we're talking about has two of them. So, mahu detemo, chado minayu betule mevatila. Without the Mishnah, you would have thought that the way we view these kind of things is that one of them he will tie shut and leave tied. That if he were to tie it up on Shabbos, he might just leave that one of the two in place as a knot and make use only of the other one, komash malon. So the Mishnah is telling us that we don't have to take that into consideration, and that when a person wants to open them, he will open the two knots that he would have made on Shabbos. Kederush al basar, the pot of meat with a cloth covering that is tied shut. You can tie that and untie it, pshita, that's obvious. It's a pot of food, it's not the type of thing you're going to leave permanently. Lo tzricha, the case is necessary, de isle shlocha. Now, this word shlocha has an alternative reading to it, and you can see this in the note there where the Bay's note focuses you on the note. You'll find right under the Tosfos, there's a Bays, and there it reads, and we're looking at the note, right under the Tosfos commentary, Bays, Girsas Oruch Shlava. The Oruch has a Girsa, Shlava, instead of Shlacha, Pirush, Kigon Dode Hakior. It's like spigots of a tank, a water tank, she mekalchin mayim, through which water flows. Afagav diyochol aruki hamorok min hashliva. Even though you have a pot that has some type of other, has a spigot to it, that you could empty out the soup from the other pot. Mutur lahatiro. It's mutur to nevertheless undo the covering that you have to this pot. So, like we had before, it's a situation where you're tying shut, knotting something to keep something shut, where that unit has an alternative exit option. And we continue in the Gemara. Mahu detemo betuli mevatila. Because of this second exit option, the knot you made in covering the pot, one might have thought you're just going to leave that there, komash malon. So the Mishnah is telling us you don't have to consider that. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov Omer Koshra v'chule, and he said Koshra lifnei habehemo b'shvil shelo teitzei. This has to do with tying a rope across an entranceway to keep an animal in its pen, we'll say. So the Gemara says, pshita, of course you can tie it shut. It's not a type of knot you're going to leave there. Eventually, the animal is going to be let free as well. So, lo, and by the way, just so there should be no point of confusion, we're talking about domesticated animals, and we're not talking about any problem of tzeda. We're not talking about trapping the animal. The animal is not the kind of animal that would run away anyway. However, you want to keep it in there for security purposes, so that it doesn't roam around. So, what could the problem possibly be in such a knot? Obviously, as we said, it's a knot that is not of a permanent nature. So the Gemara explains, lo tzricha di is le tarti isri. And we're going to use, in this case, the second explanation that Rashi presents, is that we're dealing with a rope that's tied, that he ties to the two sides of the entranceway on Shabbos. It's a rope that wasn't dangling from in the entranceway from before Shabbos. It was a loose rope, the two ends of which he tied to the entranceway on Shabbos.
Mahu the Tema. Without the Mishnah, I might have thought, and we're continuing here at the top of the next Omid. Kuf Yud Gimel Omid Aleph. Chado Minayhu Betubi Mevatil. I would have thought that when he wants to let the animal go free later, he'll just untie one of the knots, leaving the other one in place. Mevatil means to leave it there permanently. Komash Malon, the Mishnah is telling us you don't have to worry about that. Namely, that when he unties it, he'll untie both of them. Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel Halocha, Karebi Eliezer ben Yankiv. Rav Yosef rules like Rav Eliezer ben Yankiv, and we saw him quoted just now at the bottom of Amud Aleph, the quote from the Mishnah that he said kosher lifnei habehema. Omar le Abaye, Abaye asks Rav Yosef, halocha michlal de pligi, from the fact that you used the word halocha, and we've explained this in the past, when you say the halacha is like so-and-so, that implies that it's like A and not like B. You're ruling like him and not like someone else. So Abai asks, in this case, does someone argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv? In other words, no one argues with him, and therefore there's no need to rule like Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, because by ruling like him, it sounds like you're excluding someone else. Amale, Rav Yosef asks Abai, my nafka loch mino, what difference does it make to you whether I use the term halacha or I don't mention that? Either way, we're going to follow what Rav Elazar ben Yankiv says. Amale, so Rabbi responds to Rav Yosef and says, Gemara zemorta tehe? Should the learning of Gemara of Torah be like a song? Meaning, in the case of one singing a song, one isn't necessarily careful with the precise pronunciation of each word. The main thing is to maintain the tune, but Torah learning is not a function of being imprecise, and therefore, if you use a term, then it has to reflect a precise meaning. And if you use the term halacha, you're implying that someone disagrees. And in the event that no one disagrees, so the use of the term halacha represents imprecision. Therefore, I'm raising this as a problem, because in our training of the pursuit of Torah learning, we're also interested in precision. And the imprecise use of the term is what raises is what's the reason for my raising the objection. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.